Hi, this is Paul from Bay Church. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We trust it's going to allow you to live bigger, to live better, and to live bolder. Amen. Thank you and good morning. Today's a little bit different to those people watching at home. Good morning to you too. Certainly glad you all came out despite what's going on. And I guess one of the most difficult messages to give is when people have already got all the information. And obviously in the times that we're in, I need to talk about what we are facing. And why I need to talk about it is because it's absolutely everywhere. It's on the news, it's in the papers, it is on social media. And whenever people get together, what do we talk about? Corona, isn't it? Wherever I go, that's the first topic that comes up. So we need to address it because our world is revolving around corona. And it's had a tremendous impact on our social interactions, on our economy, on our spiritual integration. It's just touched every facet of our life. And the only way for us to deal with it as believers is to enter into warfare against it. You see, we can either get down on our knees and pray and become a source of hope, or we can contribute to what is happening out there. Because many believers are part of what the problem is. Many of us are just as fearful. Many of us are talking negatively. Many of us are spreading fake news or making jokes. And I think God is asking us to be something else in this time, to be something for people that they're not experiencing out there, to be hopeful and to be love spreading part of the body of Christ. I see a tremendous need for the body of Christ in a world that is afraid to actually stand up and to be strong and to be courageous, because Jesus is our courage and Jesus is our strength. You see, we need to settle in our hearts, and more now than ever. Something we say a lot, but we need to settle this in our hearts, that Jesus on the cross defeated everything. And that is from where we need to operate, from that basis, that he defeated everything. When the world is afraid, that allows us to give people hope. That allows us to stand up and to be counted amongst the body. I was looking up at, you know, how did the Christian believers in Wuhan, in Wuhan in particular, but in China in general, respond. And I went to a website called International Christian Concern, and they explained what their experience had been of the Chinese believers, who are generally heavily persecuted. They reacted in a way that sets an example for the body of Christ. You see, in the face of disaster, they made their homes available for people who were fleeing. Because if you weren't from that region, the people in the town would put you out, not knowing who you are. Those people had nowhere to go. The Christians opened their home. They took people in. They distributed face masks with a gospel tract to everybody. They would ride with bicycles through the town with speakers on the back proclaiming a message of hope. They were feeding the displaced. They were being the hands and the feet of Christ, knowing that if they were caught, in their own words, they would be invited to tea by the police, which happens often to them. Being invited to tea means you would be tortured and strongly encouraged not to spread the gospel. Despite that risk, they were in the streets being the hope of Christ, and they made a huge difference. where the authorities had left a gap, the believers climbed in. And there's many gaps in our world, many gaps in our towns in this time. How are believers going to be filling those gaps? If I'm truthful this morning, things are likely, and I don't want to speak doom and gloom, but things are likely to get worse before they get better. I'm also convinced and know for a fact that not everyone is going to get sick, but almost everyone is afraid. Everyone is filled with fear. You go to the shops and, you know, there's people right now are still taking it fairly lightly, but deep down we've all got this concern and we've got this fear, this apprehension building up in us. What if? And I don't want to dispel the panic, but people are panicking. Some people need to be more concerned with others, the elderly, the very young, the immune compromised. They are justified in their reaction to a degree. But oh boy, haven't things got out of hand? Haven't we just gone like crazy as a nation and as the world? When I read 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and you've heard this so much because it's all over social media, but it's what God spoke to me on. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and in this translation, of a sound mind." So you can see there's a spirit of fear, okay? There is a spirit of fear. But God didn't give that to us, okay? Yet that is what we've taken hold of. That is what we're holding on to. Something that is not of God, that is man-created, that is worldly, that is what we have chosen to take hold of. And fear disturbs your faith. It rattles your faith. If you're not careful, it's going to drive your faith right out of the door. But you get to choose fear or faith. You get to make that choice. Fear causes chaos because it disrupts your faith. You don't know what to take hold of and what you must leave, what you can believe and what you should just like maybe reconsider. We're starting to doubt the Word of God. And some believers are even starting to blame God because fear has taken hold of them. Fear is making you its slave. That's what's happened. It's making you its slave. And it's causing you to dance to its tune. But we as believers are supposed to be dancing to the heartbeat of God. Isn't that what should be directing us? Isn't it that should be governing our behavior? What God says, what God requires, standing on His word and standing firm. Yet we know this, and fear still rules, and faith fades. What are we going to do about it? The devil is finally getting it right, what he's been trying to achieve for ages. Fear is keeping us from our faith. It's keeping us from our faith interactions. It's causing us to change our focus. It has succeeded in infiltrating our churches, our schools, our businesses, our homes. Fear has taken over. Finally, the devil has got his foothold he's always been seeking. How are we going to respond? Are we going to kick him out, shut that door on his foot, and say, "In Jesus' name, you got no right here"? Or are we going to get swallowed up and be governed by fear? And I'm not asking you to act irresponsibly. I'm asking you to act godly and to react in a responsible manner with the reality of what we are facing. What this time has also done for us, it is highlighted gods in our life, other gods with a small g, okay? It's brought to the fore all those things that were important to us. Because now you don't have your sport or your movies or your clubbing or your big social circle. All those little gods have now been dispelled and taken away from you, and now you're left with not much to do. And people are saying they're becoming bored. They're feeling empty. There's a void in their life because their focus has been on that. You see, that has consumed this time. That has consumed any activity outside of work, has been those things. And I'm also suffering. My downtime on a Saturday afternoon was a packet of Mexican chili chips and the Stormers. Hallelujah! That's gone. Now I get time to spend in the Word. Now I'm writing messages. By the end of this, I'll have messages for 2 years. Hallelujah. I need to be productive and not let the loss of other activities get me down, but inspire me to get up to more for God. So that's my choice that I've made. But people are feeling a void. These physical things that they used to do are actually impacting them in a way that is profound, and they're feeling a physical loss on the inside. And if that's you this morning, I've got wonderful news for you. I've got someone to offer you. Okay? Not only will he fill the void, but he will overflow into all areas of your life. Not only will he give you what you need right now, but he's also going to meet every inner need that you will have or do have. He's going to take that fear that governs you, and he's going to set up his government in your heart. And it's his government that will direct your faith. It's his government that will give you hope. Because where there's fear, he's going to give you faith. Where there's despair, he'll give you hope. Where there's confusion, you're going to be flooded with peace. And his name is Jesus. And he is in all, and he is over all. And he is your king, he's my king, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the one who we can trust, and he's the only one that we can hold on to. Fear is the enemy of faith, but fear was defeated. Fear was defeated. Why are we giving it a platform? Why? We're serving, if you serve fear, a defeated enemy. You've been governed by what is evil instead of by what is good. You got hopelessness in place of hope. Apprehension of others instead of love for them. So can good come out of this? Of course. Of course, that's what the Word says. God turns to good which was intended for evil. Good can come out of this, because in this time, more than ever, if the body of Christ stands up and does what we're called to do, we can have people not losing life but gaining eternal life. But then we got to get active. We got to be governed by faith and directed by His love. We got to get with people who've got the same heart. In small groups, what a better time to get into a connect group, a life group, somewhere where you can feel loved, supported, get food. This is the time for believers to draw nigh unto Him and unto others. We've been told disperse. And if you have to, if you're high risk, do that. But if not, small groups are the way to go. Get together with people who can give you hope. This is a great time for families to draw close together, for families to spend quality time together, for families to finally get into the Word. That's why we're making those children's church, Kids Connect teachings available, so the families can sit and moms and dads can explain to their little ones, they can interact with them. What a time! This could be if we decide to grow despite the chaos happening outside of our door. Imagine how we can come out of this on the other side. Imagine what our homes can look like. This verse from Timothy goes on to say something else. In fact, it says a whole lot more. In those few words, there's so many sermons. Saying you don't have a spirit of fear. But it does say God has given us power and love. And I like to think of it as a spirit of power and a spirit of love, because the Holy Spirit is in us. And if He's given us that, and if we combine those two, power and love transforms to hope, it transforms to effectiveness, it transforms into something we desperately need, and that is the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ. And it gives us the boldness to go and teach the people what the Bible says about these times. You see, we can focus on the fear, or we can look at the power and love and say, I'm taking those. Those are the ones that God has set out for me. Then it goes on, and it says it's given you a spirit of a sound mind. Okay, ladies, do not look at your husband right now and think, Sound mind. A sound mind. What is that? That is available to people who are in Christ to make right decisions. In fact, if you're in Christ, it allows you to make righteous decisions. Okay? And God has given us that ability that in this time we can make decisions that glorify Him. We can make a decision that draws us as a family, as individuals, closer to Him. We can make decisions that benefit us despite the chaos that is going on out there. Or we can make decisions that are going to add to the problems, that's going to bring despair, that's going to cause us to feel even more fearful or have less hope. We get to decide what decisions we're going to make. Are we going to operate in power, love, and with a sound mind, or be driven by fear? In Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, this verse has never been more applicable than right now at this time. It says, this day, okay, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. This is the time to choose. This is the time, despite what happens tomorrow, despite what's going to roll out in the coming weeks, we don't know. But it's a time to choose today. How am I going to respond to what is coming? How am I going to respond to what is happening? What choices am I going to make for me and my family? Am I choosing life and the blessings that will come from that life? What are those blessings? We've mentioned them. The peace, the hope, the love, all of these things, those are the blessings. Are we choosing them, or are we going to be controlled by faith and suffer the curse, by fear and suffer the curse because we have chosen to go against God? People, this is a choice everyone needs to make. And you need to choose today. Veronica and I have been talking extensively, and I suppose we all in one way or another tend to slip into a bit of negativity and a bit of fear, and we do discuss the what ifs. But I said to her, we can't discuss without making a decision, and we've got to choose. Do we give in to the negativity, or do we give our hearts to Christ even more now in a time like this? How are we going to respond? What are people expecting from us? Not being pastors, not being leaders of the church, but as a believer, what are the people out there looking to us for? And they're looking to us for hope. So we've got to choose love. We've got to choose faith. As a believer, it's already been decided for you how you must respond, and you get to choose, am I going to respond as a believer would? as a church, we need to decide, how do we react? How do we get involved? And I've got extremely good news for you today. You are the church. This building cannot respond, because the building is just that. It's a building. You are the church. How are you going to respond? How are you going to be the church in a time like this? First of all, you choose life. And then you choose how you're going to impact the life of others. I'm encouraging all our connect groups, our life groups, to get involved. You can hide in your homes. And we ask, please be careful, be cautious, take all the necessary precautions. Or you can make an impact. Do you know how many children have lost their access to a meal every day because the schools have closed? Do you know how many businesses are on short time so the people don't have income? They can't stock up. They can only live day to day. Do you know how many elderly people are holed up in their homes, too scared to go out? Who's going to do the shopping for them? Who's going to encourage them? There's so many opportunities for the church to be effective. We need to be taking those opportunities. You see, a gap has been created, and we as the church, which is you, need to step into that gap. And then, as a church, as the body of Christ, sadly, we need to mention this to believers, we need to pray. Prayer is the basis of the breakthrough. And if we don't get that, then we got nothing. We need to understand the power of prayer. So what are you going to pray for? We will send you guidelines. Join the Unite 714, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. Let's get involved in prayer. But there's so much more you can pray for. You can pray for the decision makers of our country. We can pray for the sick. We can pray for the business owners, some of who are sitting here today, who are feeling the impact. We can pray for our nurses, our doctors, and our healthcare workers. We can pray for those who are afraid and are imagining they got symptoms. We can pray for those in self-quarantine. We can pray for those who are locked in their homes, too afraid to go out. We can pray for the moms and the dads who need to work but don't know what to do with their children. There's so many of them. We can pray for those children who are stuck at home and driving their moms and dads nuts. We can pray for the researchers and the scientists that they find a cure. We can pray for our economy. We can pray for the people who work offshore. There's many of them in our church and in other churches who either can't come home or can't go back. They don't have income. They're stuck. We can pray that the Lord uses this disease to glorify His name, and that through this disease, many will come to know Christ. We can pray that God will be glorified, and despite what's happening in the world, His name will be lifted high. That is what we can pray. And if we're not going to be praying in this time, we're not going to be effective. The fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. We need to be on our face before God saying, Lord, You, only You can deal with what we are facing. Show us the way. In Numbers, Moses gets told how the priests are to bless the nation of Israel. Who is the priesthood of believers? It's us. He's talking to us right now about how we are to bless our nation. And he says in 6:24-25 from the book of Numbers, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. As the praise and worship team comes back, I want to bring this into land. Despite what we see, despite what we are reading in the news, despite what our ears are hearing, may we be blessed. Despite all of that, but don't let God's blessing be stolen from you. May He protect you, but may you act wisely. And may His face shine upon you. One of my favorite oldies, you all know that, we've sung it in the church on numerous occasions, is "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And I wish I could sing it for you now, but I'm afraid this mic's just not strong enough. But it goes, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." And that is what happens to us when we look in His face and we allow His face to shine upon us. Then this stuff grows dim. This stuff gains perspective, and our heart gets right with God. May God be gracious to you. May He show you kindness and mercy to you and to your family. May you find favor, and may you find provision during this time. And may you, the body of Christ, the priesthood of believers, may you find peace, the type of peace that surpasses all understanding. Faith or fear? Me, I've chosen faith, because I serve a faithful God who says He's never going to leave me, He's never going to forsake me. I'm choosing faith over and over and over again. I choose to live in hope. I choose to live in peace. I choose to experience and to show and to be His love. Right now, you get to make that choice as well. You get to make it. You either, this morning, a child of God, or you're a slave to fear. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit has touched you and you were just a fresh give to God, surrender to Him. He's calling you this morning into His presence so you can have His peace and we can drive fear from within you. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you this morning as a people who have been called by your name, Lord. Called to more than we are currently experiencing, Lord. Called to your peace, to your provision, to your mercy and to your grace. And forgive us, Lord, where we've let fear come in and steal from us. And in the name of Jesus this morning, we say, fear, you have no place here. I am a child of God. I'm not your slave. I refuse to be captured by you. I break the shackles that you've got on me. And I'm choosing God this morning. I'm choosing life this morning. And I'm choosing the abundance and the peace of heaven. I am a child of God. I declare this over my life. And I declare this morning, as a child of God, I'm going to draw to the God who is my Father, and I'm going to sit on His lap, experience His love, and I'm going to dance to His heartbeat. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want any more info, please feel free to visit our website, www.bchurch.co.za, or connect with us on Facebook at Bikers Church Garden Route.